So I guess I kind of got off on a little bit of a tangent a couple weeks ago, and I've been watching a little bit of this, a little bit of that on internet and on, I don't really have TV, but I'll say that everything's on TV. We have the 24-hour news cycle, and we hear it from churches. Also, everywhere we look, everywhere we listen, we hear this phrase, uncertain times. Well, we're living in uncertain times, and we have this COVID-19 and all this insanity going on. It's uncertain times. We have these riots and so forth. It's uncertain times. And I got a problem with that. I got a problem with that phrase, especially as a believer and as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. You know, we look at this, but we know otherwise. We know that these are certain times. We don't have to buy into that thought process of uncertainty, because we know the Lord and we know the truths in His Word that we believe by faith. That we don't have to have fear invoked by media. We don't have to follow the norm or the world. We're to be set apart from that. So again, I say that it is not uncertain times. It's very much certain times as a believer, because we have the foundation of God's Word and we have many truths, and we're going to look at those tonight. It's nothing brand new. It's more of a let's take time to remember some of these fundamental truths that we can stand on, and we can say, amidst these things, it is very certain of what's going on, because God has it in control. He is in control of our past, our present, the future. And we're going to look at these things. John 15:9 says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And we're not to be of the world. And when the world tells us every single day, these are uncertain times, I beg to differ. These are very certain times in the life of a Christian. Now, there may be things that we don't know, but that's okay. There may be things that we don't like, but that's fine. There may be things that aren't really convenient right now. But we got it in with the Lord Jesus Christ that will surpass all that, will remain and endure through all that and see us to the end. Go to Hebrews real quick. This isn't where we're going to be, but Hebrews 11. Sort of still in this introduction, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. And we'll be in chapter 10, so we'll be where we're at anyway. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. And the longer that I go, and I'm on the younger end of things, but the stranger, I know we're strangers and pilgrims here, but what I'm getting at is, you know, this isn't our place of residence. This isn't our long-term home. We've got a home in heaven, and we can be certain of that. So we need to be separated from that. So given this position, again, I don't believe we're in uncertain times. I believe we're in certain times. So contrary to what most people would like us to think. So go with me, just jump back to chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And what I want to focus in on there is the first part of verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. That verse sticks out to me a lot. I listen to a lot of Lester Roloff messages. And that's sort of a verse that he goes by, his whole ministry. And is the just shall live by faith. And in listening to one of his sermons, it kind of stuck out. And then reading through the book of Hebrews, it jumped out at me and really inspired some really big decisions that we made in our life and in our household. Sort of God saying, you know, are you going to follow me by faith, or are you going to continue to be, you know, worrisome and in fear and consider all these things, and or are you going to step out in faith? And so we're going to kind of focus in on that, how we are to live by faith. Now, there's an important part of that, the just. We'll come back to that towards the end. How are we to live? To live by faith. Well, first, we need to understand, and you guys know this. Again, this is just an attempt to kind of bring some things into our memory. What is faith? Conveniently, in Hebrews 11:1, if you look down there, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we have it defined here. And this word hoped for is it's an expectation. It's a trusting in that, right? It's not a, well, I hope I get $1 million. I hope I get a, no, it's a hope in that we can stand on that, okay? And it's an absolute. It's not really how we use the word today so much, but it's evidence or proof of a thing not seen. Now, look down there at Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So that kind of leads us into our first certainty. And we're going to walk through a couple here in just the time that we have. The first certainty is that we can be certain by faith in the creation of the world, that God, the God of the Bible, created the world. Okay? So we can be certain, we can stand on that truth. We're going to flip around a little bit. So go with me to John. You know where we're going. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's a great verse. I'm going to read that again. Verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So the Word of God, we had this creative act. We have faith in that the Word of God in His creative act in our existence. I mean, the creation of the world. We can stand firm in that fact of Scripture. We can stand firm. We see that in Genesis 1, right? Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And you see those creative acts preceded by, and God said, right? We have the Word, we have God's Word going forth, okay? In the creation of the world, in the creation of us, in the creation of man, we see that in Genesis 2:7. Okay, where man was created. All right? We have faith in that. If we go to Psalms, Psalm 139, Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelously are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Jeremiah 1:5. And you can turn there, you can stay where you're at there. It says, thou said, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in thee? Oh, wait, I'm reading the wrong verse. 1:5, not 2:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of thy womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. So we see him referring to Jeremiah there, but before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. We have faith in God's creation of the world. We have faith in God's creation of us as man and woman. So without the third thing we're going to look at, those don't hold And people say, oh, the Bible is just a book. The Bible is just a story. Well, no, it's not, right? It's God's word. It proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we have faith. We can be certain. We can have faith in God's word. Again, people say uncertain times, this and that and the other. It's not. We have God's word. We have this full of truths that will illuminate our mind to see the reality that we're living in. The spiritual warfare that's going on. We were talking about it last night, Victoria and I. She said, something's not right. Something's not right. I don't feel right. And we talked about it, and there's spiritual wickedness going on. There's spiritual warfare. We have faith in God's word. We just saw how all things came about by the word of God. Therefore, there cannot be anything more certain than that same word of God. Look at 2 Peter with me. This is an important scripture here. 2 Peter, it's all important, but 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I like that. No private interpretation. It is of God, right? It's not, I'm not sitting down, Darby's not sitting down just willy-nilly, right? These men were inspired by God. They were inspired by the Holy Ghost. They were moved by the Holy Ghost, we see there in the end of verse 21. Again, it's not of any private interpretation. And it did not come there, it says, in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We can believe that this book is inspired by God. From cover to cover, these words that we read from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between are the holy inspired word of God that we can stand on, that we can be certain in during things that we don't understand many times. It could be now in all this chaos that's going on or anything that comes our way. We're all going through different trials. We all go through different tribulations. We all go through different uncertainties. But I can tell you for certain that this word and this book is what we have to go to. So, I mean, it's an inspired book. Let's go to just back to 1 Peter real quick, to chapter 1 again. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Gotta get your flipping finger ready, right? Or your scrolling thumb, however you go about your business. So, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. We're going to read a little bit of a passage here, 18 through 25. We're actually going to end up coming back here a little bit later. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached to you. So we see that endurance of God's word. Again, all these other things are going to go away. We're going to, you know, or be with the Lord one of these days, but God's word's going to endure forever. Our homes, our vehicles, these possessions that we have, the craziness that we experience is going to pass on. But God's word, we see, is going to endure. It says, being born again, there in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Born again by the word of God. It says, which liveth and abideth forever. We saw that in verse 25 again. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel, a saving gospel, that gospel is preached unto you. We see in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word never returns void. And we see that gospel there mentioned in verse 25. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Again, we saw in 1 Peter, or sorry, we just read that in 1 Peter about the gospel being preached by the word. Which leads us to the next, and probably one of the most influential or the biggest thing that we can grasp is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's by the word that we come about this. Through God's word, through the preaching of God's word, we come to the gospel. And that's another point that I want to make that we can be certain of. We can be certain of God in creating the universe, creating our world that we know, creating us, stitching us together, knowing us. His word, we can stand on His word, we can stand on the gospel. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Kind of sums it up for us there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll look at verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. So we have faith in this gospel, this good news of how Christ came to bear our sin, how Christ was crucified, He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, right? Isaiah 53:5 tells us that, it says, but He was wounded for our transgressions, but He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Remember, we have faith in those Scriptures. Faith in God's word. And these are certainties in our life. You know, I hope they are for you. Certainties. We also see that Christ died for our sins. Right? According to the Scriptures, we see that. We see how, I mean, back to Genesis 3:15, all the way up through, we see Christ present in the Old Testament, in the Scriptures. We come to fruition in the gospel, right? The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We were back in John 1, that and being in 14. Now, we come to here. Christ died. We have faith in that. We have faith in the blood that was shed there for us. We have faith in that blood. We have to. We have to. Hebrews 9:22 there toward the end of the verse says, and without shedding of blood is no remission. There has to be the shedding of blood. We have faith in that blood. 1 John 1:7. The end of that verse, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace through that blood. Now let's go back to 1 Peter where we were a little bit ago. 1 Peter chapter 1, we were talking about God's word enduring forever. And we read in the beginning part of that passage, in verse 18, we said, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we have faith in the saving power of Jesus Christ's blood. There's power in the blood. I mean, we sing that song, right? There's got to be. There's got to be faith in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It has to be. And it is. It's in God's word. It's a certainty that we can stand on. It's a certainty that we can stand on as Christians, as believers in God's word in Jesus Christ. Again, like I said, what the world calls uncertain times, we can be certain in the power of the blood. We can be certain in the gospel. It still saves. It doesn't not work anymore, right? I mean, we go tell people, we try to witness to people. I was talking to a guy at Home Depot today, and I pray that, you know, I ask him, you know, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior in it? And he said, yes. And I pray that was true for him, you know, and we continue to talk about the Lord and things, and I hope he comes to church. Maybe he's watching, I don't know, but that would be great. You know, but we witness and we tell people of the Lord, and we tell them what Christ did and what's available to them. And it's that saving grace of God. It's the power of the blood of Christ to cleanse us. To cleanse us. So we have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. So still remaining in the context of 1 Corinthians, which is where we were a minute ago, if we look at verse 4, let me get back here. I've got too many little markers. Lose my place. There we are. It says what we just looked at. Christ died for our sin according to the Scriptures. We have the shedding of blood, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We have faith in the resurrection. We have faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's not dead. He's not in the tomb. He's not down there. He's risen. He's a risen Savior that we serve, that we can talk to and fellowship with and go to and rest in and all these other things that we have as Christians that we can go to Christ in those things. But we have faith in the resurrection. We can be certain that Christ resurrected, right? And we see that over and over again. We see that in Matthew. Real quick, let's go to Matthew 20. Make sure I'm right here. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, yep, verse 1 through 6. We'll look there. So Matthew chapter 28. Look at the resurrection of Jesus here. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. He is risen. We see that in verse 6. He is risen. Okay, we see the same thing in Mark 16:6. We see the phrase, he is risen. All right? Luke 24:6, very similar. He is not here, but is risen. Risen. He's a risen Savior. We can stand firm knowing that Christ lives and that we live, I mean, we're you know, together with Christ. What was that? Hold on. This isn't Galatians 2:20, I think, is what's coming to mind. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Boy, there's that word faith again. I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have to. Go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 15 through 23. Who in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto him, self by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We see here not only that Christ is the firstborn of the dead, but a very good summary of the certainties that we know from God's word up to this point. We see all things created, right? For by him, there in verse 16, for by him were all things created and that are in heaven and they're in earth, visible and invisible, right? We see the blood. We see that in verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's where our hope rests, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. And I pray that we can be part of that. We can be part of that preaching to every creature. We can take part in sharing that with other people. But man, that gospel is where it's at, for lack of better terminology. But man, we can just turn to God. We can turn to those truths. We can have faith in the resurrection, the faith in the blood, the faith in the resurrection, faith in the gospel. Lastly, I want to look at, we can have faith. We can be certain in his return. We can be certain in the return of Christ. We don't know exactly when, but we know he's coming. We know it's closer today than it was yesterday, and I'm okay with that. You know? Say, oh, it's crazy. It must be coming. Well, sure, bring it on. Let's go. Speaking of Lester Roloff, I'll quote him. He flew himself. He was a pilot, and he flew to most of his meetings. And he always said he would rather take a plane air ride than an airplane ride, talking about Christ coming back. And it was being caught up, you know. Look there with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapters 4, 14 through 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherever comfort one another with these words. He's coming back. He's coming back. We can have faith in Christ's return. We can have faith in the creation, God's creation, that occurred. We can have faith in God's creation of us. We can have faith in God's word. We can have faith in the gospel, in the shedding of his blood. We can have faith in the power of that. We can have faith in his resurrection, that he is risen. We can have faith that he's going to return. So we don't have to be in uncertain times, I guess is what I'm getting at. We don't have to be in uncertain times. We can be in grounded and firmly planted on the foundation, very certain of our present and our future. We know what happened. We know what's going to happen. We have the scriptures. I'd like to end this evening where we began, back in Hebrews 10 and verse 38. The just shall live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Again, we looked at how we're to live by faith in these certainties. And there's others. I mean, there's many other truths in God's word. It's certainly not an exclusive list here. But There's many certainties that we can stand on. And we looked at how we are to live, and that's by faith. By faith. How do I know that that pew is going to hold my weight? By faith. How do I know that this mic's going to work and not work? By faith, right? But we got to look at the who. Who's going to live by faith? The just, right? The just are going to live by faith. And we saw the certainties in Scripture which to place our faith. But again, who? The just, the justified. A person must be justified through faith in the things we discussed this evening to have the certainties of the Scripture apply to them, right? So, I mean, I know everybody in this room. I would imagine that everybody has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have people that are on Facebook watching, right? So folks out there, potentially, if you have not taken a step to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, those certainties that we spoke about, you may feel uncertain. A person may feel uncertain in these times. But I can assure you that the gospel, that placing your faith in Jesus Christ, that realizing that you're a sinner, that turning to Him. Let's go to Romans real quick. We'll end there. We'll end in Romans chapter 3. Maybe. We'll probably go one more spot. We'll pre-end in Romans chapter 3. So, what is this? Justification, right? So, the just shall live by faith. We must be justified. Let's look there in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. Sin's been passed down to us. I mean, this flesh and mind is sin cursed. And we see that in the world. We see the sin, the curse of sin all about us. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin that are past through the forbearance of God. So we have all come short of that glory. We've all sinned. Doesn't matter how high I can jump, I can't jump high enough. It's because Victoria can jump higher than I can. Doesn't matter. Our works are nothing. They don't do anything for us. We don't work to get saved. You know, a lot of times, I think maybe we work because we're saved. You know, we want to serve and we want to do things to please the Lord. But that doesn't do anything, right? Ephesians 2:8-9, right? For by grace you are saved through faith. And that's what I want to share, that we can have these foundations, that we can stand on this foundation, this God's Word. We can stand on these truths of the gospel. But it's by faith in Christ. It's by faith. It's by recognizing that we're sinners, that we need saved from that we place our faith and the certainty in the work of Jesus Christ. It's freely given. It's by God's grace. And Christ is our substitute. He pays that penalty for us. And that can be done anywhere. Accept that right now. Very simple. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if anybody's out there now that feels unrest, that feels these uncertainties that the world wants you to buy into, I can assure you that through God's Word and through Christ's work, you can rise above those. You can have a certainty to stand on. It's this book. You can have a certainty to stand on. And it's God's promise. It's not me promising that. I can't keep promises. I'm a sinner, right? I don't do things right. I try, but I fail. But Christ never fails. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And fellow believers, I hope that we can take these things that we've looked at tonight. Again, no crazy deep theology here or nothing, but just good old-fashioned plain truths that we can stand on, and we can remember that we can have certainty in our lives, in our walk, in our families, amidst, you know, what is craziness? It is chaos, and whatever your persuasion is on that. We can have certainty in the scripture. We can have certainty in our lives to just maintain that peace that, you know, people will look at and say, you know, hey, what's going on? You know, maybe they'll notice, and then we have an opportunity to share the gospel. And for those of you that have never accepted the Lord, I pray that you take time to do that this evening. Anybody that's out there. So I just thank you for coming, for tuning in there on Facebook. And well, I don't know. I just got sick of hearing uncertain times. I'm just going to be honest with you. Maybe it was a fleshly response, but it led me to the Bible to look and say, you know what? We have no reason to be uncertain in all this stuff that's going on, because we know the Lord, and we know the past, present, and future according to His Word, and we can stand on this book and praise God for that. So Lord God, I do thank you for this evening. God, I just praise you and thank you for all that you are, God, for your sovereignty, God, and that you're just, God, and that you're righteous, God, but you're merciful to us, Lord. You're graceful to us, God. We can't help ourselves, God, and you see that. And God, we're sinners, Lord, and God, you became flesh, Lord, and you went to the cross, Lord, and you died for us, God, and you offer that freely to us. So, God, I praise you for that, God, that you allow us to accept that gift, Lord God. And I thank you that in these, what the world calls uncertain times, that we can have the certainty of your word. We can stand on your Bible. We can stand on the gospel. And, God, I just pray that we take this out, Lord, and share this with other folks. Again, we love you. And, God, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I guess, as always, if you'd like to stay and pray, we can do that.